The only option we have is to take legal action. And she said it, dude. She really? Said it stone cold. I was like, wow, that's good. That's good. She's like, I guess we'll just have to go to our lawyer. You know, yeah. If you guys aren't going to help us.
Man.
She's like, dang. Stone cold, baby.
Apparently, your last title, saying that we got sponsored, apparently. I forget who I was talking to. Maybe it was Ken.
Did it get some clickbait?
She was like, y'all got a sponsor? I was like, no. We talked about sponsors. Also, I feel like my sponsor answers were just so terrible. Not that I've
Can
thought
you
of
say yours
ones.
Again?
My first one I said was like Sweetwater, which was like, that's not it. I mean, but at the same time, you look at pro guys and they're sponsored by like Paycom and MasterCard. And it's like, you're just getting money from them. Like we were looking for the fringe benefits of like, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
You know, more so than anything.
Yeah. I think honestly mine was, which obviously I had a little bit more time to think about it, but I think I'd stick behind mine. Rolex, Lulu, and God, what was the other one?
You said Tesla.
Tesla.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was trying to make sure there wasn't another one like Subway or something.
No, I was going to go the old school route for Subway.
Yeah. It's weird to me that Subway gets like such big names for their commercials.
What's weird about that?
Like
they're a huge company.
I guess I just don't think about that. Like how much money they're pulling in. Whereas like it feels like McDonald's and stuff like that. Like they don't really partner with famous people. They are famous cuz they're McDonald's. Versus like
I think they probably just don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I don't think commercials are all that expensive to pay the big names, you know?
You don't think?
Uh-uh.
I don't think there's like a big like sign-on for those people to get on?
I bet it's like less than $100,000, $100,000 or less.
Do you think?
I think so.
You think Charles Barkley was like, yeah, I'll take less than $100,000 to be on this commercial.
Yeah, if he's like, I like this. You know, like.
This is pretty tasty.
I have fun doing this.
He's like, I get the Chandler special, actually.
Yeah, he's like, give me some cucumbers. Let me see if.
All right, so this is episode 18.
Oh, yeah, good call. Lexi said we need to start doing the intro earlier.
Yeah, well, I try to, like, do the rolling start and everything, but, yeah, I do need to, because we'll be, like, halfway through, we'll be like, all right, you want an intro?
Yeah, or, like, we're getting
we're at
to
the
wrap
end.
It up,
yeah.
And it's like, this
oh, this
is
has been.
This,
yeah,
is
so this is
Chandler and Jake.
Episode 18, we were upstairs watching the Rangers game. It is in overtime, and I have it just on down here, so we should have started way sooner, but Chandler's a bro and is hanging out late. So.
Yeah.
He also replaced one of the floodlights. So that was cool.
Yeah. Sure, it was supposed to be all four, but
they're
weird bulbs, too, to
oh,
be
yeah,
fair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're
weird special. Halogen, it's probably hard to find.
Yeah, they're halogen bulbs, and they don't have a ton of them. They all look the exact same in the boxes,
yeah.
Outside of, like, the number of watts or whatever on
yeah,
the
you
top
you have to
corner.
Look at the little tiny picture at the bottom to see if it matches what you're putting it in.
Yeah.
That's what I figured out. Also, you're on the light aisle, so you're getting blinded by these spotlights, and then you have to look for light bulbs that have the smallest amount of detail to figure out if it's the right one or not. So I feel your pain. I've got the, like I said, the spotlights that are on the ground. I've had to replace the bulbs on those, and I think I've come home with the wrong ones once or twice, too. It's just like the prong doesn't fit.
You'll have that.
Yeah. So that's tough. Were they all the same price?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
I mean, they weren't
not enough for you
same.
To be like, oh, that one's probably not right because it's $3 difference.
No, no.
Those bulbs are expensive, too.
They're like $8 or
something. Yeah, $8 a pop, yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy. You might as well just get some.
But I think they stay up there a while. I think they're good for years.
I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't either.
I didn't know.
You might be replacing it in 6 weeks.
No, we'll be replacing the whole thing at that point.
The whole assembly. Yeah, it's, Chandler did the spotlights. And we just haven't had them replace it. I haven't had a ladder big enough, and it's just we've kind of been getting by with the light by the garage that's right outside, the one that's just a normal light bulb. So getting that replaced is pretty huge. Makes our house visible. So that's super nice. I don't, our neighbors haven't dealt with us having those lights. So I don't, but I don't think they'll react adversely to them because their house is lit up. So
yeah,
I don't think it'd be a problem. And
it's a floodlight. It's not like you got a spotlight pointing in their bedroom window.
Dude, one of the ladies down the road has like a spotlight that shoots into the road.
Oh my God.
It's like a solar light. I'm like, why is it right there? But she's notoriously kind of crazy. Yeah. There's a Facebook group for our street, which I guess everybody has at this point in time. So she's on there all the time, just like speculating, conspiracy theory. And so we try to ignore her.
I did a little ChatGPT research. And in the food industry, average payment for a celebrity endorsement can range from $50,000 to $500,000.
Oh,
so could be $100,000 or so. It could also be $500,000. And it said that top-tier celebrities with strong appeal to the target audience and a proven track record with successful endorsements can command even higher fees. So, you're probably, I mean, $500,000, that's...
$500,000's a lot, yeah.
Sounds like a lot, but, like, to Subway, well, McDonald's, $500,000's, like, you know.
That's what I was thinking, because, like, I saw a LeBron James Taco Bell commercial. And I'm like, dang, because LeBron James has a ton of money. Like,
yeah.
There was that, I don't know if you saw this post, where, like, a lot of athletes dress up very nice when they're, it's game day.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like they,
yeah, it's
and there was one that he wore, like, $200,000 worth of stuff, and it wasn't, like, all of it was jewelry. It was, like, the bag, his shoes, and then his outfit.
Yeah, he has some, this suit that's, like, shorts. It's shorts instead of pants, and it's a really expensive suit.
And so I was wondering how much of his income, like in a ratio, would that be versus like somebody like me buying a nice suit?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, what does that ratio look like? Am I still like paying more in a ratio?
Yeah, are you paying
than what he paid for this
3% of your income while he's only dropping a 1%?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
I just thought that was interesting.
They say LeBron James is also very, like, tight-fisted. Like, he don't pay for Spotify premium. He uses, like, he still gets ads on his Spotify.
Really? Oh, dude, if I had, I know we've talked about, like, what we would buy, but that would be the first thing. Like,
sure.
Not that I use Spotify, but I wouldn't want to see ads. I would lobby to have billboards taken down.
Yeah.
You know, billboards are illegal in, like, Vermont and Maine. I would become a lobbyist to take billboards
down.
Yeah,
you just buy them all and put nothing on them. Just, like, leave them blank.
Just put pictures of trees.
Make it see-through. Green screen it and put, like, a live footage of, like, the woods or something all the time.
If you're ever coming to Walker's Chapel at night where they have that semi-new electric billboard.
Oh, yeah. It's bright.
Yeah. If it's, like, a white background or something in the ad and you're going towards Walker's Chapel, it's just blasting light on that hill where all those trees are. Can you imagine being a squirrel and they put that up and your retinas are just burning? You're trying to get some sleep.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a little invasive. So.
I had something on that. LeBron James. Oh, there's a lot of pros, like Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
Big golf guy, if you don't know it. He just won the Masters.
Again.
He still drives, like, his old, like, Tahoe or something. Like a 2010 or 08 Tahoe or something.
Really?
Yeah. I saw his house the other day on social media, and it's not
it's not
very modest.
Tahoe.
Yeah, it's not very modest. But
that's great.
Yeah, I think it was like an $8 million house or something.
Oh, yeah. Where does he live?
Texas.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's from Texas. Yeah, I feel like there's some stuff people are just okay with, and there's some stuff people are like, oh, I'm going all out.
Yeah,
this.
Which I don't blame him. I think I would want a really nice house.
Yeah. It would be interesting to know, like, what you stick with. I heard a story about a couple that won the lottery, and not, like, a huge amount, but a life-changing amount. Mm-hmm. Like, they couldn't, you know, they wouldn't have to work anymore. And they didn't touch the money for a year. They, like, put it away. And after a year, they both continued to work their same jobs.
Yeah.
I think they stayed in their same house. And I think the husband bought a nice car, like maybe a car he's always wanted. And I forget what the wife bought, but nothing was extreme. And I think they went on a vacation. But otherwise, their life was the same.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way to do it. Maybe you buy a nicer house and then, you know, or maybe you set yourself up, you know, but money does change a lot of people. So,
yeah. Yeah, I've always heard, like, money changes people. But then more recently I've heard, like, money don't really change you. It kind of just
exposes
magnifies
you.
Yeah,
yeah, like, that's a good way to put it.
Like, it magnifies just me. Amplifies everything. Like, you're you know, stingy, you're just going to be more stingy.
More stingy, yeah.
You're, like, selfish, and then you get $1 billion. Like, you're just going to be spending money on yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's how you get those, like, massive mega yachts that are just sitting in harbors.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are just a different level of wealth.
Yeah, for that, it, in my head, like, it has to be some sort of, like, tax write-off or something. It almost has to be.
There has to be a lot of factors to make that purchase. Like, that's not just money sitting in the bank.
Yeah,
that's
oh, I'm going to save up and buy this. Like, yeah. You have to just have stupid amount of money.
Yeah. There's a level of stuff that you can buy that isn't, I saved up and bought this. This is just, like, only available to somebody like me that moves money or has assets that I do. Well, speaking of, I've written a couple things, and I have listened to half of this TED Talk, so I'm going to give half of my opinion on it, I guess. But it was a guy who, it was a TED Talk in Vancouver, and it talks about just real estate and how, you know, the main question is, do we love our children? And he's like, well, I'm about to spend the next 15 minutes, like, fighting against that or whatever, because that's how everybody's acting right now, because there's no large transfer of wealth from the, like, quote-unquote boomers or whatever down to the new generation. Like, that transfer of wealth isn't happening.
Yeah.
And there's, like, something, like, he shows a bunch of charts, but he talks about how one where the people in their 30s now aren't doing as well as, like, the previous generation in their 30s. So there's, like, this disparity where people aren't getting, like, more wealthier going forward. Like, they're actually losing it versus the older generation. And he talks about how this one point, which was, like, the last point that I listened to before the YouTube disconnected to the TV. I have no idea what happened. And then I didn't get to re-cue it back up. But he talks about how the people that have their houses use them as an asset to kind of build up wealth and then lobby against people building new places to live. This is primarily in Vancouver, which is, like, one of the top three most expensive real estate cities in the world. And it's a lot of different factors. One of the reasons is whenever China announced that they were taking back Hong Kong, which has been owned by London or Great Britain, not just London, but the entirety of Great Britain, way back when, because they founded it. It was, like, part of it. There was this, do you remember, like, the Hong Kong protests and stuff like that, like, being in, anyway, we won't talk about the news, but that they used Vancouver as a escape city because they would leave Hong Kong and it drove up the prices because all these, like, rich Chinese people were flooding out of Hong Kong because they thought China was going to take them back over. Anyway, it drove up the prices of real estate, and then people would use their, you know, the money that they had accumulated in real estate to make it harder to build new houses and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think that's happening here, but it is crazy how much houses, like, have increased in value.
Yeah, and I feel like it's never really gonna stop.
Yeah, and it's like, it's almost like if you didn't get a house, you're not gonna get one because, like I was talking about, well, like, the people in their 30s aren't doing as good as the people in the previous generation in their 30s. So, like, who's going to buy up all these houses? Like, whenever they eventually, the people that own them, like, is it just going to be this intrinsic value that people are like, oh, it's worth this much because it's worth this much? Because it's really not, you know? Like, one of my friends just sold his house. And I won't say the numbers, but he bought it and it increased like 80K in 4 years. And I don't think it's worth, just as a house, it's like, it's laid out weird. Uh-huh. It just feels kind of tight. It's not a ton of square footage. And it's like, that house just went up like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the I learned this the other day about real estate. It's kind of weird. The like in how would you say it? Like not asset class, but maybe asset class. Like what range of houses appreciate the most? The first area is like your really nice houses, like $1 million plus, $2 million plus, like these huge houses.
Yeah, like kind of like one-off specialty houses.
Appreciating the fastest.
Yeah.
And the second most appreciating is the like $50,000 to $100,000 house.
Oh, like the flippers and fixer-uppers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like the bottom of the barrel and the top.
Yeah.
Are appreciating the most for some reason.
I wonder if it's just because... like, those are the houses that people can afford. Is this, like, recent, or is this just, like, in the past?
Over, like, the last, you know, handful of years or whatever, 10 years maybe.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that you're either priced out or you got to throw a lot of, like, sweat equity into it, which isn't necessarily bad, but a lot of people don't want that. A lot of people...
yeah, or they don't have the time or the...
yeah, or the know-how.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to have... then it's like weird because you either have to get a mortgage and then you have to get a construction loan so then you're like dealing with two different things and twice as much paperwork just to have somewhere to live, and then that's why a lot of people rent.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a weird concept of like you either got to be able to get approved for more and get a house that's ready to move in. Day one,
yeah,
or you gotta buy a cheaper house and have cash reserves to to fix it up and to pay people to fix it and materials and stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we talked about, you know, I think at the kind of the beginning of the podcast was like the HELOCs and stuff like that, like using your equity in your house to, I mean, you know, if you're gonna buy up real estate or look for investment properties, because it's clearly like that is a sound investment and it's insured.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're like, you know, the like S&P 500 isn't insured. Like those losses, like they just happen, you know?
Yeah. Whereas I was talking about a house
you can insure and, you know, burns down, something happens to it, like you get that money.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was talking with Lexi, like the amount of debt that the U.S. is in is almost the exact same amount of money that U.S. citizens have in qualified plans with the government for, like, retirement plans.
Really?
So, like, amongst the U.S., we have, like, a couple trillion dollars worth of money in 401ks, Roth IRAs, other qualified plans. And that's almost exactly how much money we have in debt. So, it's like...
that keeps going up.
Seems a little
up.
Sketchy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like... whoever we owe this debt to, if they come calling for that note,
yeah,
you know where they're pulling the money from. Like, your 401k is going to be down, buddy.
Yeah, but and, I think it's so much more complex than that. Not that we have any sort of economic degree or you know, vague understanding, you know, not financial advice, but, yeah, I think it's, like, that debt will probably never be collected on all at once because it would just cause such catastrophic, you know, failure of everybody's financial system, because like the dollar is like just the standard. So the dollar collapses, like so goes the world. Like it's just, I don't think there's any way around
it. But what if that's what somebody wants?
Hey, you know,
and they've been loaning us money for years.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, and then, you know, somebody defaults and then they're just like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's just a number, a digital number somewhere.
You got houses, though.
Yeah.
Or land.
Yeah, they ain't making more land.
Or businesses.
They've tried.
Yeah, it don't work.
It don't work. There's a, me and Kim watched a, I think it was a Bright Sun Films on YouTube. He does great, like, abandoned stuff like malls going under, but he gives the entire history of the mall. He'll go back and like this mall was founded in the 50s. He explains how malls started, all the fundamentals of it. And One of them he did on this weird complex that they tried to do in, I want to say it's Saudi Arabia, where there's a lot of money, and they literally like put sand and dirt and earth into the ocean and built up these things to on top of. And it was supposed to be like this utopian, not like so much like how people imagine like it was going to be perfect, but it was going to be like this, you know, high end luxury condo hotel out in the middle of the ocean and like shops and just ultra luxury. And it just never worked out because they literally built it on sand in the middle of the ocean. Like, that's not ever going to work. So it's just, yeah, if you can get into getting some property and holding on to it, I mean, yeah, it's a good idea. Like you said, they're not making more land, and clearly it does not work.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
From this one YouTube video that I watched.
Yeah, I think I got caught on some soapbox on YouTube of like crazy. We may have even been here when we were watching it. It was like crazy things people have built.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of them. Like, people were trying to build these towns and stuff.
Yeah.
And like secluded areas where, like, you know, they're dropping $1 billion trying to make this awesome utopia or whatever. And then, like, it almost all of them flopped. I think, honestly, all of them did.
Yeah, it's crazy how it kind of works because it's still real estate speculation almost. Like, we watched one on this high-end condo, luxury condo thing that they were building in New York, and it's still not done. And what happens is people are like, it's like there's like a presentation almost of, hey, we're gonna build this thing, it's gonna be ultra luxury, high-end, you know, so-and-so's already bought in, so-and-so's bought, like these huge names. And then you get these people that are buying these like $1.1 billion or $1.1 million condos on certain floors, and that's the money they use to build the thing.
Yeah.
And they're almost like investing into it, so when it's done and it becomes like a big deal, like, you know, it's like esteemed or whatever, and then people want to buy in, and then the person that provided the seed money gets to sell their spot
for more.
Yeah, $5 or $6 million.
Yeah, you're basically using like the end buyer as your developer, as your funder for the developing.
But some of those people lost money because it never got done.
Yeah.
So the people that bought in,
it's always crazy and stuff like that. Because I'm like, what does that relationship look like after that? You know, like, do you owe them for the rest of your life, or is it like, well, everything was contingent on this project going through and it didn't, so sorry.
Yeah, and it makes me think of like what we were talking about earlier, like people buying the ultra luxury like yachts. Is it in that same vein where you're like, oh, I don't even care about this $1.1 million, like, it's nothing to me, and if I make a 5x on it, so be it. If I don't care.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I got a loss on my taxes.
Or is this the one guy like, I hope this goes through? Yeah, like, he's calling him all the time.
Yeah, he's like, hey, how's it going over there? How's Utopia coming along?
All right, well, switching gears just a little bit. Can you tell everybody your Hozier story? I've heard it a little bit.
Oh gosh.
But I want the full Chandler side of the story.
So, we'll back it up. Okay. Months. As soon as these Hozier tickets go out for Oak Mountain, he came on Sunday. As soon as tickets come out, we get them from Ticketmaster. Because, you know, Oak Mountain is a Ticketmaster.
Loud Nation, yeah.
Yeah. And so we get our tickets from them. We get two tickets. But I remember us looking at the tickets. And I remember Lexi being like, oh, no, that's too much. Like, I don't want to do that. Because Hozier's like her favorite artist. She wants to go see him. Because he don't come to the U.S. all that often. So it's like, hey, if he comes, I want to go.
Where's he from?
Ireland.
Really?
Ireland, yeah. He kept saying, thank you very much, Pelham. Pelham.
I had no idea.
Thank you very much, Pelham.
From Ireland. If I was going to guess, I would say New Zealand, but I thought he was from like Washington.
Yeah, he's from the countryside of Ireland. We kept saying that. So we buy tickets, two tickets. And then months later, like a month before the concert, so we've already had our original tickets for probably 2 or 3 months. Out of sight, out of mind. I hadn't thought about it since. and I see an ad on my Instagram, like, Hoser's coming to Pelham, you know, to the Oakmont Amphitheater, get your tickets. Click, I'm like, let's go. You know, we got a little extra fun money. I'm going to get Lexi these tickets, surprise her. So I go to buy these two tickets, and they were pretty expensive. I will not say the number, but it was pretty. It was a lot more than what we paid for the original two, a lot more. And then I tell Lexi, I'm like, hey, I'm surprising you were going to Hoser. And she's like, yeah, we're already going. I'm like, what are you talking about? How'd you know I got these tickets? She's like, we already have tickets. Did you buy more tickets? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yes, I did. So then I do more research. I go look at everything. I'm like, well, this website also looks very sketchy. So from the time I bought them for a month, I called them like 7 or 8 times just trying to get a refund.
Yeah.
Because they didn't send me the tickets the day they said they were going to. They sent them well before the concert, but they didn't send them on the day they said they were going to.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, you guys haven't sent me the tickets yet. Let me just go ahead and get a refund. You know, you haven't sent me anything. I don't, you know, there's nothing weird there. Just send me a refund. They're like, well, we can't do that. The seller's going to have your tickets today. And I'm like, just give me the refund. I don't want them anymore. I'm an idiot. We already have them. And you guys look sketchy.
Hey, I will back up the sketchy. The website did look sketchy.
It's a little sketchy.
Yeah.
So, then we're like, okay, they send the tickets. They send 4 instead of 2. So it's like, why the crap? That's even sketchier, you know, because it's like.
They're just like, whatever.
Yeah, you're just sending me 2 extra tickets. So then we're like, hey, you sent me the wrong tickets. Let me get a refund. They're like, yeah, our website says you'll get equal or greater value than what you bought. So we're not giving you a refund. We can't help you there. I'm like, you didn't send them on the day I wanted them. You didn't send me the right number of tickets. Like,
yeah.
I just don't like this. Can you give me a refund? They're like, I'm sorry. We can't help you. Keep calling them. And I'm like, I need a refund, okay? No refund.
So did you talk to a real person when all this was going down? Okay. So they did have somebody on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they sound sketchy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Like foreign sketchy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And like, it looks like whenever I say something, it falls into a category, and then they look over, read on this thing, and then they say exactly what it says.
Really?
All of it just seemed very rehearsed.
Yeah,
like,
very call center-y.
Yes. Very sketchy call center. So
yeah,
I'm like,
wow. Could you hear other people talking in the background?
No, no. They had decent head mics, at least.
That's funny.
Headsets. So we've got 6 tickets now, and it was just going to be us two going. So we're like, I thought the tickets looked sketchy, so I'm like, I don't want to mess with them. I want us to just go, me and you, Lexi, go to the show.
Yeah.
Scan our 2 original tickets, but also say, like, hey, will you check these tickets, the ones that I thought were fake, and let them just be like, yeah, those are fake, denied, whatever.
Did they look the same as far as your real tickets? Like, at least you had something to base it off of.
Well, they were from 2 different sites, so they looked kind of different.
Okay.
But Lexi was like, they look kind of real. And she's been to a lot more concerts, so I'm like, all right, whatever. She's like, let's try to sell them, try to get some of our money back. So we sell all 4 pretty quickly. And then the night of the concert, we sold them to 4 friends, 2 sets of 2. But we know them personally.
Yeah.
2 of the people were like, yeah, I can't go. Like, I'm not feeling good. I don't want to sit out in the rain. And it wasn't raining. It was projected to rain at some point throughout the night, but it didn't really rain.
Yeah.
But this is like 1 hour and 10 minutes for the concert. So we're like, well, crap. You know, like, we held these tickets for you because you said you were going to buy them. We had other people interested in buying them. We could have sold them to them. So they pay us. And then our other 2 friends, we meet them there, and we're waiting in line with them. You know, just bebopping along. We go through the gate, and then turn around. They're getting denied at the gate. So we're in with our original tickets.
Right.
And they're trying to get in with 2 of the 4 tickets that were sketchy.
Yeah.
So we're like, crap. You know,
did y'all try all 4 of the sketchy tickets?
All 4 of them. They said that the tickets were already in the door. Okay. So, like, the website just sold the tickets more than once, I believe. That's what it seemed like.
Yeah. So, I wonder if they would have worked had you gotten there earlier.
Yeah, if we would have got there, like, first people there, maybe.
Do you think?
I guess. I mean, that's what it seemed like. And that's what the lady in the box office said. She was like, this happens a lot. Like, they just resell the same tickets over and over.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Whoever gets here first actually gets in. They're like, ooh, I got real tickets.
What a gamble.
Yeah.
Dang, I didn't know it worked like that.
So we're like, well, crap, can they just come in for us and we'll go out and, you know, go home or something, I guess.
Go to Applebee's.
And the guy's like, yeah, I mean, as long as two of y'all are in there and two of y'all are out, I don't care. So we go out. They're like, go check the box office, see what they can do. And they're like, yeah, we're sold out. Can't really help you. They're Dang. Like, call whoever you bought the tickets from. Call them. Of course, you know, they answer exactly how they're supposed to and all this bull crap. Like, we're so sorry. We know that can be very frustrating. Like, yeah, we're here at
yeah,
the
like,
freaking
yeah, if
concert.
I can come through this phone right now.
If I knew you. So we're getting, you know, it's just like annoying, honestly.
Oh, yeah. That's super frustrating when you're like at the thing and it's just, it's not working.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad because I'm like, man, this is my fault. You know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, mainly my fault. Mainly my fault.
Yeah.
So, we're frustrated, whatever. We're sitting there on the phone for like 20 minutes. Because really? They'll be like, let me talk to our internal team and see if we have any strings we can pull to get you guys in.
And they just put you on hold for 3 minutes.
And it's like, can we put you on hold? It's like, thank you for your patience. We're going to try to contact the seller and see what they're saying. And it's like, I don't care what they're saying. They sold us crappy tickets. just give me my money back. And at that point, Lexi was like, I honestly don't care. Like, I've seen him before. I want to see him, sure, but, like...
Yeah, it's more of
if
just
we
like,
get our money back, I would be thrilled.
Yeah. So, it's more about, like, they bought tickets from you that ended up being fake.
Yeah.
You just have to eat the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we are sitting outside the gate on the phone for about 25 minutes, and then we're finally on the phone with somebody, like, trying to get our refund process started, like the investigation or whatever.
Right.
Air quote investigation.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
It was so annoying.
Guys probably got a monocle.
Yeah, it was so stupid. Yeah. We were just like, whatever, dude. Telling him, answering all the questions. And then he's like, or I think Lexi said, like, should we get some sort of proof that we got denied at the door? He's like, you can see if the box office will give you something. They may not. Some of them do, some of them don't. You can see. So Lexi goes up there. She's, you know, Lexi's real nice. Talking to this sweet old man at the wheel call, little booth or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm sorry. We don't do that. I would take it up with your credit card company with fraud. See what they can do. Back on the phone. And we're like, all right, man. You know, thanks for everything. And then this worker's like, hey, he's calling for y'all. And so we like walk up there to the, we figure he's going to give us a proof of.
Yeah, give you the paperwork that you need.
Yeah. And he like slides two tickets under the thing. He's like, y'all enjoy the show.
Dang.
So we're like, dang, that's awesome. And I'm like, all right, buddy. Yeah, he said, take it up with our credit card. See you later. Like, hang up on them. I'm like, frick you guys. We're going in. So we missed the opener, but like literally when we were like, about to be at the seats we were going to.
Yeah.
The lights go black and Hoser comes out. So I was like, we didn't miss any of him. So it was fun.
Yeah. Perfect timing.
And then our friends that we sold the ticket to, that they were sitting in our seats, there was actually two spots open right beside them.
Okay. Yeah.
So we went up there by them. And then those two people, there was three seats by them. And two of the three people showed up. So we went one row down right in front of them. So it was like,
no problem.
Yeah, we were fine with that.
Yeah. It's usually like the seat hunting until, you know, you get kicked out or something like that. Yeah, I think some people do that. But that's awesome. I mean, granted, you still have the back end of like figuring out the whole.
Oh, my gosh. We've been on the phone with them five times with the ticket place. Because they're just like trying to run, like just run us around.
Well, can you go through the credit card company since it is legit fraud now?
Yeah. They kept talking about this form that we're supposed to fill out.
The credit card company?
The ticket place.
Yeah.
to start it, because they're like, we are a lot faster than your credit card company, so if you want to stay with us.
And you're like, oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, this has been ongoing a while. So we call them that night, and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll send you something over to fill out either tonight or first thing in the morning. Didn't happen on Monday, which would have been first thing in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Call them again, and the lady's like, okay, yeah, well, I'll send it over now. You know, like, don't worry about it. We'll send it over. Didn't send it over, so we call them today, and they're like, well, we actually have to do this first. And Lacey's like, why did nobody else say that they had to do this first, you know?
Yeah.
And then all the questions that we answered on the phone for the first guy, we had to answer.
Like everybody just wakes up with amnesia. And
oh, my
no
gosh.
Carryover.
I'm like, y'all just give us our freaking money. All right? Like, I said something. Lex's on hold at one point. And I was like, tell them that, you know, like, if they're not going to handle it, the only option we have is to take legal action. And she said it, dude. She really? Said it stone cold. And I was like, wow, that's good. That's good. She's like, I guess we'll just have to go to our lawyer, you know, if you guys aren't going to help us.
Oh, man.
She's like, dang. Stone cold, baby.
That's amazing.
That was
fun. Well, I'm glad y'all got to see him.
Like, oh, yeah. Honestly, if we do get refunded, it will be like best case scenario. Because we'll get to refund the two people that backed out. We'll get to give... the other people that did show up and that used our original tickets, we'll give them like almost all their money back, and we will have gotten in for free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, true.
So really everybody wins.
Yeah.
As long as we get our money back. If we don't get our money back, we're still out. Pretty good bet.
That sucks. Yeah. Well, I mean, at least the glimmer of hope was actually getting to see the concert and getting in and not really missing anything. So I have a similar story. It's not we had the wrong ticket. So me and my dad went and saw Rush, which is like the only time I've seen Rush. And it's like, well, you can't see original Rush anymore because the drummer passed away. He had like brain cancer or something. Mm. But I remember being in traffic court in Pell City for, I think I had an expired license. I got pulled over, so that was good. So, sitting in traffic court, bought Rush tickets.
Wow.
And then, so whatever, day comes, and in my head, I'm like, it's at this location.
Oh, no.
It was not at that location. So, my dad drives, and we're amped up, you know, the whole way. Get there, it's very shut down. There's no cars. There's no traffic direction. There's not a concert going on at this venue tonight. So I look at it, and it's like, oh, this is in an amphitheater that's 45 minutes away. We've already driven to the outskirts of Atlanta to go to this concert. And so I look at it, and I pull it up on my map, and it's 45 minutes away. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So my dad's like, he's like, I don't care. Let's go. Like, he's like, yeah, we'll make it. So truck over there, find a good parking spot. Get out of the car, walk, you know, probably a half mile to the venue, it feels like.
like a slight jog. You're not really jogging, but you're walking.
We were walking a little fast. It was a brisk pace. And then, but it was clearly the right, you know, theater. Lots of people walking and everything. And get in, find our seats, sit down, and Rush comes out. So that, you saying that you get in and, like, the lights go out, like, that's what made me think about that. We didn't have any sort of ticketing situation. I just drove to the wrong, where my dad drove to the wrong venue under my orders to to go there. Because there's the Aaron's Amphitheater in Georgia, and then there's the Verizon Amphitheater, and we drove to the wrong one. We drove to the Aaron's Amphitheater. I don't know if it's still called that.
Yeah.
And then I looked it up, and it was at the Verizon Amphitheater. And in my head, like, while I'm realizing that we're at the wrong place, I'm like, oh, no, this is, like, we're going to miss whatever this is. Like, we're going to have to drive 2 hours.
Like, but it's only in Birmingham. It's at the BJCC.
We didn't even need to drive all the way out here.
Yeah. That...
So, no, it was a good time for sure. Well, I'm glad that worked out. Did you have anything? I noticed that I filled up the note sheet this
week. Yeah, you did good.
I did put these in, like, I think right when you pulled up or something. Yeah. So,
wasn't no, like I'm, I really I'm thought just... about those. On your Tailcoat. What's that called? Coattail.
Yeah, riding the coattails.
What's this first one you're talking about?
So I've been, I drink a lot of coffee. So I've been mulling the idea of switching to tea. I've heard that's just
like
a lot
better. Like a hot
tea? Yeah, yeah.
I've with just caffeine?
A lot. Yeah, but it has way less caffeine than coffee. I've heard it's just better for you. It's got less bad stuff going on, I guess. I'm not really sure. But I don't know. Have you heard anything about that? I was just going to bring it up.
I hear about tea. Yeah. I don't drink it. I drink sweet tea, but I know that's not what you're talking about.
Sweet tea is like black tea.
Really?
Yeah. There's like different, like the green tea.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, see, I don't know where these, I don't know where that kind of stuff comes from, you know?
I think it's, I mean, I'm just now like starting to do my research on it, but I think it's just like the level that the tea leaves are, like how dried out they are. Like, I think green tea is like fresh.
Kind of like coffee grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like how they're roasted.
Yeah.
I think it's similar.
Okay. I can kind of see how that.
I don't know. I was just going to touch on that. I've been, been looking.
So are you going to go like no more coffee?
I don't know.
Maybe. Is that iced?
Yeah, which is bad. Like, right? Like, it's 9, almost 10 o'clock at night, and I'm drinking iced coffee. That was more for.
Was it coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was tea.
No, this is coffee.
Man.
Yeah.
I wanted to try it if it was tea.
Oh. I have had.
I have a caffeine headache too.
You do right now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
I know.
Yeah, I know. It's that's the one thing that I'm like. I'll get if I don't drink coffee in the morning. And I usually, it's also helpful because I don't eat breakfast. So it's just like to have something. But I wonder if tea will do the same thing, you know? And I've also been thinking about like my morning routine and like trying to get out of bed better.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like having something to do or something to look forward to. Cause you know, if you're going to get up to go play golf or go hunting. Or go on vacation or something. Like, you're out of bed. Like, you wake up at 3 a.m. You're like, I don't care. Let's get up right now.
Yeah, your eyes are just popped open.
Yeah, so, like, something you're excited about doing, I feel like that would get me out of bed better.
And maybe doing a little routine. I've been trying to think of something like that, too. Like, something I can do first thing in the morning for, like, a couple minutes. Like, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Something to get me up and going.
Yeah. And it's got to be something exciting. I know, like, a lot of people use that time to, like, meditate or... do quiet time or a devotional or something like that. And I feel like that can get you out of bed, but like meditation, like I'm about to meditate right now and go back to sleep for the next 30, 45
minutes.
Yeah,
as soon as I wake up, if I'm like, if I try to read or be quiet or something, I'm just like, I'm just too tired.
Yeah, gonna nod off for sure.
I need something to get up and do.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, I have like a French press. But, like, apparently, doing the whole tea thing, it's, like, a little process. So, it seems like it would be enough of a thing to, like, that you could do and kind of be excited about. But it's not, like, dumping grounds in the coffee maker and then going, like, laying back down or
whatever.
Yeah, just
gonna sit. So, have you done it yet, any?
No, I've just been...
Just doing your research right now?
Yeah, I've just been looking on...
Due diligence phase?
Yeah, I'll get on Amazon and look. And then, so my usual research rotation is usually like Google it, find some articles, find some Reddit posts, and then look on like Amazon for like products and stuff, or just find out where the best source of stuff is. Yeah. Usually Reddit is good for, if you just get on Reddit and casually look at the front page, you're using Reddit wrong. Like you need to find.
Yeah, I'd be searching and diving.
You have to find like niche hobbies. Like Reddit is great for hobbies and doing research around, hey, I kind of want to get into this hobby. Like I was looking at telescoping or whatever like a couple years ago. I was like, maybe I could get into this. Turns out we live in a pretty heavily light polluted area. So I was like, I'm out of this hobby. Like that was a quick in and out. One little Reddit post.
That's all you gotta know.
That's it. So it's if you are wanting to learn about anything, it could be a hobby, it could be really anything, just search it and then put Reddit after your search and it'll pull up all the threads related
to it.
I've
never really used Reddit.
I use it for that. You know, I'll find stuff that I'm into. Like, I'll use it for guitar pedals, golf, some hockey. But you do have to, like, realize that you're on Reddit. So, like, a lot of the people are really dumb. So, you got to kind of, like, weed through the mess.
Yeah, just make sure it's the majority saying it, not just, like, a one oddball.
It really is. But it is helpful because it's weird. It's, like, most of the internet is just people just observing and just lurking. Whereas, like, 20% are actively commenting, posting, and asking helping. Questions. Yeah, yeah. So it's like 80% of the content is made by 20% of the people. Yeah. It's like that 80-20 rule we talked about. So you do have to take a little bit of everything with a grain of salt. But if it's like the general consensus on something, it's you can usually take it. And a lot of Reddits have, depending on what the interest is, they have curated guides.
Yeah.
So if you're a beginner to a new hobby or something such as... they'll have a little something in the sidebar as a guide just to help you out. Like, general consensus on X, Y, or Z.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's like popular brands, best Amazon picks, places that aren't Amazon because people are, you know, anti-Amazon for a lot of stuff. And I'm slowly trying to move away from it. It's just so convenient. And I hate that I like it because it's convenient.
Yeah, that's so unlike you. You're, like, very on brand with some things, and then some things you just come out of left field, just like...
Yeah, I think it's also cheap.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think Amazon's actually a little on brand for you, because it's, like, easy and affordable.
Yeah, I'm always about a deal.
You know? And, like, less thinking is better.
Yeah.
Which I agree with, but I just don't shop on Amazon.
Yeah, but I'll deep dive on some crap. Like, I will become obsessed with it and then, like, not care about it in 3 weeks. But I'll know a lot about it. Like, when it's all said and done, I'll know a lot about what's going on.
Without ever doing it.
Yeah, I was talking to Greg at church, and he said he was talking about Enneagram numbers or whatever, because that's been, you know, going around, I guess. Maybe it's like a disease. Enneagram does it? No. And he was like, he said something. He was like, thinking about it is just like doing it. And I was like, dang, that's really how I feel about a lot of stuff.
It's kind of like the free throw thing that I talked about that one time, like the three basketball teams or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Say it again.
Where, like, one team doesn't shoot any free throws, but they imagine, like, they just practice in their head.
That's right.
And, like, they had better results than the people who just shot free throws.
Yeah. Because it's like visualization is just as powerful. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's that same thing where scary movies are scary because your brain is just tricked into, like, the music and the situation just tricks you. And it's just how your brain works. Like, you're not in any danger, but you're scared.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Tell me about this one with the question mark. I don't even know how to say this word.
It's Emperor Lemon. He's a YouTuber. We watched one today on the Moore, Oklahoma. It's the only place in the world where two F5 tornadoes have touched down and crossed through it. And so it talked about the F scale is actually, do you know what the F scale is?
No, I don't know how.
Well, so the F is actually somebody's name. It's like Fujigara, something like that. Fujigaki. It's some Japanese guy, Ted something. But it started with an F, and, like, he made the scale, and that's what all the Fs are.
Huh.
And then so now everything is an EF, and it means enhanced Fujigaki or whatever his name was scale. So it's like because of there's one tornado in 1996 that came through that had in excess of 300 mile per hour winds.
Good grief.
Yeah, and so, like, his scale only went up to, like, 300 even or something like that. Uh-huh. And they estimated it to have over 318 or something like that. So it literally broke his scale, the guy that made it. And it was like, he didn't even see the tornado that did it. But his scale, he theorized that there could be a storm so powerful that it wouldn't even register on the scale. And so that's why there's the EF scale, because it's the enhanced version. Yeah. So in anything that is considered an F5 is over 200 miles an hour. So Moore, Oklahoma had a real F5 tornado, and then they also had an EF5 tornado come through. And it's like, it's kind of sad. Like, obviously seeing that level of destruction is horrible.
Yeah, I remember watching something on the IMAX theater at the McWayne Center.
Yeah. I love watching stuff there.
Well, I think the only thing I've seen there is something to do with the real bad tornadoes.
Oh, really?
So it was like super sad.
Yeah.
We were in like fifth grade or something.
What? We watched like Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, you should watch fun stuff.
Lewis and Clark was pretty lit. I do remember holding hands with my girlfriend at the time in fifth grade. Yeah. And then our hands got sweaty. It was weird. So, but we powered through. You know, you hold that hand. Once you're committed, you hold it for the whole movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, Emperor Lemon is a YouTuber. He does great video essays. He only puts out like 6 videos a year, and they are just amazing. They are well done. It's all him just commentating, but he does really good research.
Mm-hmm.
He basically correlates these tornadoes happening in Oklahoma to this specific region because that's where the Trail of Tears, like everybody ended up. And he talked about how the, you know, Sooner, like the Oklahoma Sooners, that is because in this area that they had laid out as far as basically like a free parcel of land, you just had to show up. People broke in sooner and claimed land and took land from other people that waited until it was the actual time to do it. And that's why they're called Sooners. Yeah. And it's like, it's weird that a school would name their mascot after somebody that basically cheated their way into acquiring land or whatever. It's just, he just goes into that so much detail. And it's like, this is about tornadoes. Yeah. And he somehow gives you the history of the Trail of Tears.
And you're kind of locked in.
Oh, dude. If you want to watch one, just hard recommend here. The one on Talladega, he does one on Talladega, and it is
like the restaurant.
Fascinating, yes. He talks about more about the Indians and the Trail of Tears and how Talladega is like cursed. And then, like, that's why there's wrecks there and just all the stuff that has happened to Talladega. Like, you know, like I think there was lightning that struck there and like the people that have died on the track and stuff like that. It's like, I think people have died at Talladega, right?
I don't know.
Isn't that where Earnhardt died?
I don't know. Don't check me on that.
Yeah. Anyway, go watch it. It's absolutely fascinating. He's got another one that's about revenge. He's got one on the Miami Dolphins that went undefeated, and that's never happened again in the NFL.
He died at Daytona. I'm just
keep rambling on this. Do what?
Daytona.
Daytona. Oh,
I didn't think he died in Alabama.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right. I just know that everybody holds up the three on the third lap at Talladega.
Probably everywhere you go.
That is very true. Anyway, that's what that one was. It's just, he does really good video essays. They're all about 45 minutes to an hour.
I can get down with that.
Yeah, I get into the weeds on YouTube sometimes. There's another guy called Beige Frequency. He does more like UFC commentary. I'm not into UFC, but he just kind of talks about, like, he talks about the Liver King.
Uh-huh.
He's got 2 videos on the Liver King that are just fantastic. And then there's another guy, he does Down the Rabbit Hole. They're just like these weird fringe YouTubers that do great video essays on random topics that are, it doesn't feel like I'm wasting my time watching them. It's, I think it's better than watching a TV show.
Yeah. So. That's fair.
Yeah. I think we're gonna you got any golf talk? We're gonna skip that.
I don't have any golf talk this week.
I'm playing this weekend. It's Brandon's birthday. So we'll be at Limestone again. My third time playing Limestone.
Dang.
Yeah. Keeps happening.
Feeling like a big shot.
Yeah. I'm basically sponsored.
Nice course,
Oh, very nice course. Yeah, that's all I got. Great Hosier story. That's a good feeling y'all got in.
Oh gosh. If we get our money back, it'll be so awesome.
I hope so. I think with fraud, you should work.
Yeah,
it out.
If the ticket place don't do it, AmFirst should handle it. If not, I know a lawyer. We'll be getting a settlement for way more than what we paid for the ticket. So I'm like, hey, maybe it's not so bad.
What's the one where you're like, you're sad about it, and then they give you money for that? What is that called?
Like grief and something.
Yeah. Something grief.
Oh, yeah. I'll get something grief. I'll get potential losses. Yeah. My neck and my back. I'll get a trip and fall on them.
You got rear-ended like, by 18-wheeler on the way
it's
there.
It's like we're a resale ticket company. What are you talking about? You can't sue us for trip and fall. Well,
That'd be good. It's like, hey, y'all don't have any wet floor signs on that website.
Well, it's like, we'll explain this. And, like, I throw a folder down with, like, they're getting served these papers for...
It's you in a suit. It's a picture of you in a suit.
Throwing down a folder. I'm like, we'll settle, though.
Yeah. I'll see you in court.
We're willing to settle.
Oh, man. Well, that's it. That was episode 18.
Almost a 20.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next week.